You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's beautiful northwest side. And
not so beautiful this morning, though.
Oh. Wayne Majar is vice president and chief of staff of Loyola University, co-host of Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Wayne, I left St. Mary of the Woods at 10 after 7, pulled into the lot here by Holy Name Cathedral at 8:15.
Yeah, travel times are bad this morning.
It's really amazing when the rain will just so slow things. I mean, it's morning rush hour, so it's going to be a little bit slow, but it's incredible how it's turned into like November weather. They're talking possible snow on Monday.
The Bears are winning. So does
the Bears
really
are
matter?
Winning. Therefore, all is okay. And if the Cubs or the White Sox had been in postseason play, they would not be playing today anyway. But we've got a great hour lined up here on Catholic Community Faith. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. The first segment will deal with Father Edward McKenna, composer who began working on the modern edition of the opera entitled The Heavenly Comedian from the manuscript of the Vatican Apostolic Library. He started this back in 1990. He'll join us in a couple of minutes. And then the second half hour, the Little Sisters of the Poor, their foundress and their work will be the focus. We'll have in studio Sister Mildred Mary of St. Paul, the director of nursing at St. Joseph Home in Palatine, Sister Maureen of St. Margaret Mary, administrator of St. Mary Home in Chicago, and Joan Theory, a resident of the Chicago Home, will be dealing with the Little Sisters of the Poor, which is really, that's an incredible work that they do, serving the poor and the elderly. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic. We're not going to go to a break. We are going to go to a break. Yes, Jim, Brian, okay. Here on Relevant Radio 950. Again, stay with us. We'll be back right after this break. Do not touch that dial.
Read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Look for a complimentary copy of the Catholic New World in your parish the weekend of October 25th and a chance to subscribe the following week.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Father Ed has arrived.
Thank God, Father Ed McKenna has arrived.
Thank you very much.
And traffic got a little bit tougher than you thought, Father Ed.
The topics that we were going to ad lib about were really not going to at all rise to the level of this conversation. So
well,
thank God you're
so
here.
Praise the Lord that you did arrive in one piece. And we welcome into the studio Father Edward McKenna, ordained in 1965 for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Father Ed just told us that he turned 70 on the Feast of the Holy Rosary. So belated happy birthday to Father Ed McKenna.
Thank you.
For your 70th, boy, you look about 50.
Oh, Greg, you always were great with compliments.
Yeah, you look terrific in the class of 65, but we welcome Father McKenna, and you know, this will be a very interesting first segment. The first performance in the Western Hemisphere of the Roman Baroque Papal Opera, The Heavenly Comedian, will take place on Sunday, October 11th, which is this coming Sunday, at 3 p.m. at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, 1224 West Lexington Avenue, Chicago. And Father McKenna, composer, began working on the modern edition of the opera from the manuscript in the Vatican Apostolic Library in 1990. And I just saw on my screen that
Brian,
it says Father Ed turned 70 driving here.
The angels lifted my car from St. James Hospital in Chicago Heights.
He aged.
I was transported.
Greatly the last 2 hours.
Are we still on the air?
A lot of comedy.
Yeah, we are the air.
Oh, I see. No, it was the angels just lifted the car up and promoted. I didn't want to disappoint the Franciscans.
Does this microphone work? Oh, it's Friday morning here in Chicago, and we need a good laugh in this weather. Brian, we're going to go to a segment of it. Let's before we even have Father Ed talk about it, sit back and listen to this.
What are we here? What are we before we do? What are we listening
Christo, to? Christo, Gloria, in Ecclesia. I wrote a on the Cardinal's motto. I wrote a motet based on his motto, Christo, Gloria, in Ecclesia, to the Psalm 118, and we presented it when he came to hear La Comica del Cielo in 07 on his 70th birthday.
Perfect.
So, Brian, here we go.
Thank you.
It's not.
Now, Father McKenna, this is, for maybe someone who didn't hear the intro, this is the piece that you wrote for the motet for the Cardinals
installation. Yeah.
And you've had a long history in music, which really inspired you to go about the work of composing La Clavicula del Cello for the presentation coming up on Sunday. Tell us how that started.
Well, I was at Mundelein started in 59 through 65, and we had a tremendous orchestra. We had the choir, Dick Wojcik. We had the repertory of Monsignor Kusch. So we were exposed to music fully and composition. I was given the orchestra, so I used to write pieces for orchestra.
These were your days as a seminarian?
As a seminarian, yeah.
Wow.
And then I just kept writing.
Well, even if you back that
priest.
Up, you started out, I presume, at Quigley.
At Quigley with Monsignor Meter.
And again, music was your love even back in high school seminary.
Monsignor Machkovsky taught us the Gregorian chant. They were terrific. And the idea of music and priesthood and church and was all one.
Now, this opera started with your visit in Rome a number of years ago.
Back in 1990.
Tell us that story.
I found the, I was working as a resident with the Sistine Choir, Monsignor Bartolucci, and I was at the Biblioteca, library of the Vatican, and through Archbishop Marcinkus, I got in there and went to ask about this opera, which I had read about in papal operas were done in the 17th century, and I didn't know anything, but I got the hold of the manuscript and began making a modern transcription.
So you found this manuscript in the Vatican Apostolic Library in 1990.
It was cataloged, but ignored. Nobody had bothered to make a modern edition or to make a modern presentation of the opera.
And this manuscript goes back to about what year?
1668. Clement
wow.
the Ninth was an amazing poet, dramatist, and librettist. Opera began in 1600. By 1668, it was fairly developed. But he had an instinct. He had worked as a nuncio in Spain. He worked with the dramatists. And he found this wonderful story from the Spanish religious drama about Santa Baltazara, about an actress who receives a vocation and leaves the stage during a performance. She hears God call her. In the second act, she goes into the desert where she is tempted first by her lover who follows her into the desert, and that's a comic scene with the lover and his friend Lisa looking for Baltazara. But Baltazara, even though she's tempted by the devil, refuses to go back. And in fact, when she's tempted, a big cross falls in her path and she stops and is struck with fear, and then she realizes God's calling her.
And so what you will have accomplished this Sunday is the first performance in the Western Hemisphere of this Roman Baroque papal opera.
Yes, I discovered as I was working on it in the library in 1990-91 that the music was as lovely as you would hear in any Baroque piece, Monteverdi, Peri, the various people. But nobody was interested in it, so I thought, well, that's McKenna Ensemble.
Tell us how you put together the performers for the upcoming.
Well, I ran into a fellow named Andrew Schultz, who's a Baroque specialist, well known in Chicago. He does opera and Baroque specialty, and with him we were able to put on one first. We did the second act because that was the edition I was working on. Then we found a group in Scotland who simultaneously had discovered it and was working on it, and they had put together a whole performance. The Scottish Early Music Consort gave us the score. And then we put on all three acts. Cardinal George came in 2007. But thanks to Father Fragomeni and the people at Our Lady of Pompeii, it was a perfect melding because this is Italian music. And
I have to ask this question, by the way. I have always personally loved research. When I was a seminarian at Mundelein, Seymour of the Lake, I used to love to go into the library and just dig through the books, dig through the archives, and just keep digging and digging and digging. I've always had a love for research, and yet if you were to take the same thing with you, You found this in the Vatican Apostolic Library. Nobody had really looked for it or dug it out in over 300 years.
Yes.
But did you go into the archive library looking for it, or was it a treasure hunt?
Well, I had read a book by I have a graduate degree from the University of Chicago, mm-hmm. and a lady who came along just after me did a dissertation called Operas in the Papal Court. Mm-hmm. And she actually researched these books, these operas, but she didn't do a performance edition. But everyone was suddenly saying, oh, wait, what is this? And so there are five operas by Rospigliosi, Clement IX. But this was the one presented during his pontificate, and it's his masterpiece because it was presented, when he was pope, and all of Rome came. Oliver Plunkett, whom he appointed Archbishop of Armagh, sending him off to. This was a great pope. He only had 2.5 years, yeah. But he had a heart of a genius.
Talking with Father Edward McKenna, who will be not performing, but who has written he'll be conducting the upcoming performance of La Comico de Cello, The Heavenly Comedian, at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii coming up this Sunday, October 11th at 3 o'clock. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be back right after a break.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Families will be in the forefront at this fall's Catholic Festival of Faith with several activities designed to help parents and children celebrate their Catholic faith together. The festival is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Get more information and register at www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
In queste si razze parve e sotto erre mitica veste s'ascondesse biscotto che è soldato con la sua spada a lato già si sa come e quando fece prove d'Orlando, or si ridotto a mendicare il pane, e quanto ad attrottar prima che accozzi insieme un par di tazzi.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Magyar as our guest. Father Edward McKenna, composer, who began working on the modern edition of what you've been listening to, the Roman Baroque Papal Opera, The Heavenly Comedian. Father Ed, what did we just hear in the last 1 minute?
Andrew Schultz is playing Biscotto. Biscotto is one of the characters, and it means biscuit. Clement the Ninth was a great humanist, and he brought human beings into, as any priest would, into from his ministry. So he wrote about actual people instead of, you know, Orfeo and Eurydice up on the gods of mythology. He brought it down, and he wrote about the lives of saints, and therefore they're comic figures. And Biscotto is the one of the leading comic figures. Andy Schultz is a local.
We had a dog there.
He's got a terrific voice. Opera is so rich, and not only does it tell a story, but it has in so many ways underlying themes and messages for the audience. This for you, Father Ed, is truly a ministry. I mean, you have not only been immersed in music for so many years, but you bring it to life, and this is a fine example of that. That's an important part of who you are as a priest, right?
Well, thank you. Cardinal Bernardine saw that. I was working on operas with Father Andrew Greeley. I was working at the Collegeville for the hymnal. I did the hymnal for the Collegeville monks. So he just said, I'm not going to put you into parish administration. I want you to be free. So he sent me to Rome for 2 years, which was a wonderful opportunity, and this is where I found the opera. However, I also keep very active in ministry as a hospital chaplain at St. James in the south suburbs.
Where is your residence?
I have my own house.
Not a rectory, then?
Not a rectory.
Okay, but you do weekend supply in terms of helping out?
Oh,
parishes?
Yes. Oh, my Saturdays and Sundays are full. I help out at Sacred Heart Shrine. I help out at St. Anne of the Dunes in Beverly Shores, and of course, the hospital, the St. James Hospital. And
so even though you turned 70, you're anything but retired. You got a very busy schedule. Let me ask you this, Father Ed. Have we lost a sense of the beauty of the sacred regarding music in the last 20 or 30, 40 years?
Indeed. You could
say more about that.
You could put 50 years. The operas today are taken out of their religious context. Even Faust, that's being presented at Lyric Opera, you always have to have some sort of pornographic or violence or something that distorting. The librettos were meant to be untouched. And today, too often in opera, you have a kind of a corruption, or they go completely wild and put Wagner in outer space and that sort of thing. So we have lost our sense of integrity. We have to get back to the basics of portraying the human story, which is a divine story, which La Baltazara, a Comica del Cielo, does. It shows how an actress goes to heaven.
There are opera aficionados, but there are also many of us who don't routinely experience opera. Mm-hmm. For that population, what could you say to them that might encourage them to jump in with The Heavenly Comedian coming up this Sunday at Our Lady of Pompeii?
Well, come and hear it. That would be a good start.
It's going to be in Italian. It's going to be in Italian, but the storyline will be easy to follow.
It
right?
will be easy to follow. No, we have dialogue in English. We Baroque opera is very long. Recitatives go on and on. We translated all those in English, so the English dialogue is there. Any aria that's sung in Italian has a translation, so it's easy to follow. Okay. And it's even better because with super titles, I can't afford those, but sure. You get distracted.
So Ed, Sunday's performance took you how many years to complete in the work that, I know it's going back to 1990 that you were in the Vatican Library. So this has been
the
19
last,
years in
well,
the making?
The piece has been with me for 19 years, but the last, since 06, with Andrew Schultz and Larry McCauley and this Farida Weller, Carol Loverdi, We've had some terrific singers coming in. We have a countertenor, a man who sings the role of Lisa, sings a very high Christopher Kroniak, and we have just a bevy.
So in some ways, this is 3 years of intense work to get to this Sunday. Again, it's going to be this Sunday, October 11th at 3 p.m. at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, 1224 West Lexington Avenue in Chicago. Ed, give us a phone number if people wanted to call to learn more about it or to get tickets. Do they call Our Lady of Shrine? Our Lady of
Pompeii Shrine would be good. I have a number, 219-680-7734.
That number once again.
219-680-7734.
And how much are tickets?
We're asking for $25. The singers are all paid. I am running it. My McKenna Ensemble is a not-for-profit organization. But anybody who comes, especially if they're religiously affiliated, it's free will offering, to be honest. But for the general public, it's $25.
After Sunday's performance, will this go somewhere else? Is it your intention to take it on the road?
Well, I've known Larry McCauley since Mundelein, 51 years, and he loves the piece. He's directing it, staging it. We hope that he will be a future to help us with Andy Schultz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's remarkable that the years you have spent on this. Now, with the completion of The Heavenly Comedian, have you attempted or will attempt another adventure like this? Are you going back to Rome?
I'm working on an one-act opera on the last years of St. Therese of Lisieux, The Little Flower, and it's going to be a knockout. But I'm working with from my own libretto.
And hopefully completed when?
Well, I hope to have it next year.
Well, on that note, we're going to like to say thank you very much to Father Ed McKenna for being a guest here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. And again, The Heavenly Comedian will take place on Sunday, October 11th, 3 p.m. at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii over on Lexington in Chicago. Father Ed, keep up your great work. You are anything but retired, doing great work for the
Father
the
Greg. Father Greg is more retired than you are.
Father Greg is a wonderful, outspoken leader and preacher. And Wayne, known you many years, but you don't remember.
You. Thank you, Ed.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Father Ed. And stay with us here on Relevant Radio 950. Again, phone number 312-255-8408. We'll be back with the Little Sisters of the Poor right after this.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college.
At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Time in Chicago is 9:32 on this rainy, rather cold Friday morning in Chicago. That's been your
You're such a killjoy. Weather
forecast here on 9:50 a.m.
It's and, nice. It's not bad.
And that, yeah.
You Sister Mildred, Sister Maureen, and Joan, they're all saying, what are you
They walked
about?
Here.
It's nice. And you made it.
That's we have right. with us the Little Sisters of the Poor, their foundress, and their work will be the focus. Jean Jougon, foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor, will be canonized in Rome on October 11th. And a group of sisters from the U.S. will be there on that date. The sisters will celebrate locally at St. Joseph Home in Palatine and St. Mary Home in Chicago with the elderly whom they serve and their families. On November 1st, Cardinal Francis George will celebrate a Mass at St. Vincent de Paul Church, followed by a reception at the DePaul University Student Center. So with us today, we are very blessed to have in studio Sister Mildred Mary of St. Paul, Director of Nursing at St. Joseph Home in Palatine, Sister Maureen of St. Margaret Mary, Administrator of the St. Mary Home in Chicago, and resident Joan Theory, who I've known for... Joan, I've known you for about...
25 years.
25 to 30 years.
Goodness, you've known Father Greg since he was 50.
And Joan, that's very kind of you, Wayne. We'll talk afterwards. Joan, you look terrific and younger than ever. And Joan is a resident of the Jougon home. So to Sister Mildred and Sister Maureen and Joan, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you, Father.
I know that we beat the Little Sisters of the Poor in football once.
Oh,
I know that.
Yes. We always make the news in the sports area.
So it's great to have you. And, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, just the very name, is there such a richness and history. The work you do with the elderly, with the poor, and just your whole lives. With your foundress, Jean Jougon, to be canonized in Rome on Sunday, give us a little history of the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Sister Mildred can do that.
Sister Mildred, give us... Mm-hmm. You better turn your cell phone off. Tell the Holy Father you're busy right now, okay? You're occupied. Tell him to call back later, all right?
Good idea.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Oh, yes. I meant to turn it off before.
So give us the history of the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Well, in 1839 in France, Blessed Jean Jougon, actually at that time known as Jean Jougon, she took in a poor, blind, paralyzed old lady. And actually when she was out doing her charity rounds, she found her and she said, "Who is taking care of you, Anne?" She happened to know the lady, but she wasn't sure who was caring for her. And she said, "Well, no one right now. My sister was caring for me, but she went to the hospital." So she said, "There's no one." So Jean was moved by compassion, with a deep compassion of caring. So she actually picked the little lady up and carried her home and put her on her own bed. Now, that sounds rather simple, but it was very difficult because Jean lived on the second floor in a two-room apartment. So she had to carry the little lady up two flights of stairs with no handrail, only a rope to serve to help her get up. So she put the lady on her back and carried her up the stairs and put her in her bed. Well, then news got around town that Jean Jougan was taking care of the little blind lady. So someone else came. Another little lady knocked on her door and said, "I have no one to care for me. Can I come and live with you too?" Mm. So Jean said, looked at her companion, who only had the second bed in the apartment, and she said, yes. So they put the two little ladies in their beds. They slept on the floor, and they started that way. Well, before they knew it, they had several more old ladies in their apartment. So they had to do something, which was to move. And so they moved to another place called the Big Basement, and it was just a large room where they could set up 12 cots. And before they knew it, they had 12 little old ladies. In the meantime, there were young girls, several, that would come and help them during the day, like help doing the washing and help doing the feeding, help caring for the residents. So little by little, there was a community formulating, which was the beginning mm-hmm. of our congregation. They were starting to actually be very much formed. So the bishop of the parish of the diocese thought that they should have a spiritual director. So the bishop appointed Father Lepire, Augustine Lepire, to be their spiritual director, and then he oversaw their spiritual needs. Well, that went fine for a while until Jean was elected superior of their little group for the second time, and then about 3 days later, he squashed the election, made Jean the begging sister only, made a 20-year-old girl the superior, and he himself took the title of founder. So Jean was completely devoid of her title as foundress.
1800 power struggles.
I tell you.
Exactly. That's fast. We're going to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950, and want to thank Sister Mildred for the little history of the Little Sister of the Poor. But our phone number, 312-255-8408. We will continue this discussion right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Catholic couples defy the odds and celebrate 50 years of marriage. The Jubilarians will tell us their secrets of success. Theology on Tap celebrates another successful season of the Summer Talk series. We'll take you to the wrap-up picnic, and we'll talk to Cardinal George about the heated debate over health care reform.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, "You rock."
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Magyar is along with Father Greg Sackwitz, talking with Sister Mildred Mary of St. Paul, the Director of Nursing at St. Joseph Home in Palatine, Sister Maureen of St. Margaret Mary, Administrator of St. Mary Home in Chicago, and Joan Theory, who is a resident, talking about the Blessed Jean Jougan, who will be canonized this coming Sunday in Rome after beatification by Pope John Paul II back on October 3rd of 1982. The process is typically very long for beatification leading to canonization, so it's a very special day on Sunday for the Little Sisters of the Poor. And Sister Maureen, before the break, Sister Mildred was giving us a brief history of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Tell us about the work of the sisters today, and certainly Joan is a beneficiary of a lot of the sisters' work,
right,
but
right.
Well, give us kind of a two-minute landscape on what the sisters are doing today.
Well, today the work continues just as it did in the time of Jean Jougan, but really and truly we have to say that we've kept up with the times. Things are very much, if you will, using the word regulated, but we can't deviate from that work that we do, which is always love, compassion, and dignity. I mean, we're living in a world now where people are living longer, have greater needs, have need for dignity, have need for love. There are too many people walking this earth nowadays who just don't have what they really and truly need, not physically, but really and truly emotionally.
Yeah.
And they're carrying with them many, many things from their past lives. And this is where it becomes important for us to share her ministry, her mission, but in this day and age.
And that is a very special dimension, Joan, of what the sisters do that attracted you to St. Mary Home in Chicago, right?
Well, I've known about them for a long time, and I was a nun for 29 years, and then I kept working for the church. I've written religion books and developed film strips and videos and media, and worked as a parish DRE, and so I had very little or no retirement. And I said to St. Joseph on the Feast of St. Joseph 7 years ago, I need to get in the Little Sisters. I have no money, and I spent my whole life working for you all, and so it's my turn, and this is non-negotiable. I'm not even going to discuss it. And so I went to sleep, and the next morning at 9 o'clock, they called me and told me I was accepted. So I said, okay, St. Joseph and St. John and Jean Jougan, this is wonderful. I started reading her life by Paul Milsent and any other book I could get a hold of. I was incredibly impressed with her simplicity, her joy in living, her joie de vivre, she would burst into song at almost any occasion. She reminded me of a parable that Anthony DeMello used to tell, Bad News, Good News, how the farmer was plowing his field and his horse ran away, and all his friends said, oh, bad news. Oh, maybe bad news, good news. The horse brought back a herd of horses. Oh, wonderful, good news. Yeah, maybe. Then his son was training one of the horses and broke his leg. Oh, such bad news. Well, maybe. Then the army came and the son couldn't go in the army because he had a broken leg. Good news. So Jean Jougan's life was like that. She was born during the French Revolution, and there were no schools. The churches were used as barns. So she was raised by her mother and learned the rosary and learned the story.
Well, now, Joan, you have written a book that is to be published, I think, around the 1st of November. The name of the book is?
We'll Ring in God's Name. That's what Jean Jougan it would say as she pulled the big bell on a house and said a prayer that they would give her a donation. We'll ring in God's name. And I wrote it for children because all the years that I had confirmation classes and everything, I know how they look for patron saints. And I wanted a children's book about her and about her work.
Now, the writing of this book has literally taken up many years of your time, plus the cost is coming out of your pocket. If someone wanted to make a donation and then receive a copy of this book, give us a phone number that they could call you and learn more, maybe possibly make a donation.
I would love that. The book is $5 and $3 postage and handling. They can call me at 773-528-4289.
That number once again, Joan.
773-528-4289, or write to me at my address, 2300 North Racine, apartment 409, Chicago, 60614.
Sister Mildred Mary, the process, as we mentioned, coming into this segment for canonization is multidimensional and takes a little bit of time. Tell us, Jean Jagan died on August 29th of 1879. Tell us how we've come to October 11th of 2009.
Well, when she, as I said before, when she died, she was not considered foundress. Yeah. So this had to come to light first. We had several priests who started doing discovery work and writing the history of the congregation. Finally, the truth did come about. But we had to be careful about bringing it out too publicly because the priest himself still had a lot of family living. So things did not start moving actually until, I believe it was 1936, when they exhumed her body from the little cemetery in the mother house at La Tour where the cross said, Third Little Sister of the Poor. That's how she was buried. That's how she was known. Then when her body was exhumed, she was brought in to the crypt under the main chapel with the title of Foundress of Little Sisters.
I see. Okay.
So then they started gathering all the information, all the testimonies from all the people who lived and who knew her. So that moved on until 1979, I believe on July the 13th. She was declared venerable.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors. We're speaking on behalf of the Little Sisters of the Poor for canonization of Jean Jagan on Sunday, October 11th. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Do you want to make a real difference in saving lives? Then join us for the Chicago Area 40 Days for Life prayer campaign. Chicago is one of 216 cities participating in this 40-day, 24-hour-a-day peaceful vigil outside abortion clinics nationwide. Last year, more than 20 babies and women were saved from abortion here in Chicago. Get involved. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. Or go to our website at 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. That's 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. Get involved in saving lives through the power of prayer today.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, talking about the upcoming canonization of Jean Jagan, foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor. And Sister Maureen, the charism of the sisters is so evident in the stories of all three of you. But how does the charism of the sisters and some of the maybe the challenges that you face today really come to be and come to be so alive in a world where we don't in America overall really give as much value to taking care of the elderly as in some other countries. We tend to have a much more, if I may, dismissive approach toward our older parts of our population at a certain point in time. And the charism of the sisters is absolutely the opposite of that, right?
The character is absolutely opposite, but it's what it should be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I personally met the Little Sisters when I was in high school, and I'm very grateful to the sisters who taught me. I graduated from Mercy High School in Chicago. But I was only exposed, in my whole lifetime, was only exposed to sisters who taught. So our work is a little bit, like you say, very countercultural. We do things differently. We care for the elderly. We don't have hospitals. We don't do anything else. We just care for the elderly. And nowadays, we don't respect enough the elderly. All the things that they have to give us and to teach us, the experience they have. Recently, one of our 103-year-old residents passed away. Her funeral was this week, and she was 24 days short of her 104th birthday.
Wow.
Now, during that homily, Father pointed out that she had lived through she had lived through world wars, she had lived through depressions. So perhaps what we need to do is look at what they have experienced, what they have learned, what they have to teach us. And in a world where healthcare is fashioned and focused on everybody getting affordable healthcare, we're not really and truly looking at the folks that they have to be cared for too.
Yeah. Question: Is that message getting to younger people today, do you think? How are vocations, how are younger individuals, younger women getting kind of, how do you get to them in kind of the charism and the message of Little Sisters of the Poor?
We do get to them. In fact, this summer, we had four young women making profession in our American novitiate. We have several novitiates throughout the world. And that young people are looking for a dimension of prayer and work. I mean, they're looking towards the elderly, and we can't overlook the fact that they need to find us, they need to see us, they need to see other works other than teaching, nursing, social work. We are not social workers per se. We do a lot of social work.
You do it in the name of the Lord. Your story, we heard from Sister Maureen regarding her first introduction when she was in high school. How did you come to a vocation? When did you first meet the Little Sisters of the Poor?
Well, I was a cheerleader for the boys' basketball team, and at halftime, they asked me, the girls from the opposing team said, some sisters came and showed some slides and invited us to come and visit their home and help them with the old people. Do you want to go with us? And for anything less important to do that weekend, I went with them. I was only 10 years old. And we helped the sisters side by side. It also was in November, and we must have put 2,000 cans on the shelves because they had canned good collections for the sisters from the schools. I came home that night, and I told my mother, I said, Mom, I'm going to be a Little Sister of the Poor.
And you were 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. And she said, but honey, you're only 10 years old. You have to give yourself a little time. And I said, I know, but that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
And so
that's incredible.
Yeah. And so 45 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
Who would have known that cheerleading would have led to that, right?
Absolutely.
It's a marvelous story. Joan? Yes.
Can I add two things? This summer, there was a feature in the New World on the front page, a young girl from St. Alphonsus down the street from us who went to St. Scholastica High School who joined the Little Sisters. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Sister Maureen, Sister Mildred know her name. But the other thing that impresses me all is their hospitality and what's still happening. A couple weeks ago, we had an open house, and I sat by the door and tried to welcome people and was told about a mother and daughter who came in and said, Sister, find us some old lady who has no family and nobody to visit. We want to adopt her, and we want to come and visit her, and we want to take her out. So this is alive and well and going on, and it brings tears to my eyes when I hear these stories.
We just got a couple of minutes left. Coming up on All Saints Day, November 1st, is a big celebration here locally for the canonization of Jean Jugan. Sister Mildred or Sister Maureen, jump in and tell us about it.
Oh, yes. The two homes are coming together, and so they'll have all the benefactors, the sisters, the residents, our friends, and we want the whole city to come to St. Vincent's Church. The Mass will be, I believe, at 3:00 p.m. and there's a reception after. And for those who are worried about parking, we have valet parking. So mm-hmm. don't worry about coming to the city.
So this would be November 1st mm-hmm. at 3 p.m. at St. Vincent de Paul Church in Chicago, with Cardinal Francis George as the main presider.
Correct.
Followed by reception. The two homes are being brought together.
Correct.
And what's happening locally in each of the two homes in terms of celebrations?
Well, on the 25th of October, which happens to be the birthday of Jean Jougan, we in Palatine are having an open house. And then we're having a very nice dinner. And then the pilgrims who are coming back from Rome are going to recount their experiences to everyone during dessert.
And how about at the other home, Sister Maureen?
In Chicago, we're having our Mass as usual on Sunday, and we're going to all get together as a family in the afternoon to review EWTN's presentation. There's not many people that are going to get up in the middle of the night to watch this. So we will celebrate together as a family on the 11th of October and then anticipate this big day of November 1st.
And now give us a website for people to go to. Who's got that?
Okay.
Sister Maureen.
www.littlesistersofthepoor.org.
So www.littlesistersofthepoor.org. Yes. Speaking of the elderly, we have a parishioner at St. Mary of the Woods, where I'm pastor, Mary McGowan. She will be 110 on February 17th.
Oh, my goodness.
She was born on February 17th, 1900, in Pennsylvania. Her family came to Chicago at the age of 5, passing through to take a train up to North Dakota. Mm. Her parents became homesteaders on property mm-hmm. in North Dakota. Mm. And as Mary said to me, and she still is able to talk and a little difficulty hearing, says, the winters were brutal. This is 1905, 1908 in North Dakota, mm. and it'll be 110, and she's
wow.
it's incredible. And I think, as Wayne mentioned earlier, in our society today, we sometimes put aside the elderly because they're, quote, no longer useful. But nothing could be further from the truth. They are the wisdom people. Mm-hmm. The young need to learn from the elderly. And to look at Sister Mildred and Sister Maureen and to have Joan present, a resident in the home, that you are a hope in living out the gospel. We need to bring today's program to a close. We'd like to thank Sister Mildred Mary of St. Paul, Director of Nursing at St. Joseph Home in Palatine, Sister Maureen of St. Margaret Mary, administrator of the St. Mary Home in Chicago, and Joan Theory, a resident of the Jougan Home. For this Sunday, on October 11th, will be the canonization of Jean Jougan, foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor, to Wayne Majar's tremendous job. Wayne, great to co-host with you. And to our producers, Diane Dunnigan and Jim Dish, and to our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock, thank you very much for a job well done. God bless to all our listeners. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.